You're listening to a Centro Church podcast.
Hello. Oh, great, it's on. How many mothers are celebrating Mother's Day for the first time this year? Do we have any in the room? I do know there's been a new baby born to grandparents, Barry and Sandra Reek, and I don't know if Greg and Arinda Siddons are here this morning. They're probably busy somewhere. But congratulations, a new baby, Ava Charlotte, was born on Thursday. How exciting. First time grandparents, your life will never be the same. It gets busy. Once one comes, it doesn't stop. You know, I was thinking about this morning's message, and I went walking last Thursday. I was out walking, and mornings are a little cooler now, aren't they? So it's a little harder to get out of bed. It was a cool morning. And so I was out walking and thinking about this message, and I came home, and I have a routine. And who knows routine? You do not like to break routine. And I've made this really nice fruit mix to go in my porridge, right? So I came home and I was in the kitchen and I was ready to make the porridge and have my really nice fruit mix in my porridge. And a little voice spoke in my heart and said, "You need to fast today." And I'm at the stove arguing because, no, I want my porridge. And anyway, took a couple of minutes until I, all right, I will fast. And so I went outside, as I do when I do my devotions, and I just sat down. And if you're following in our reading guide, Thursday was out of Deuteronomy. Anyway, I didn't want to read Deuteronomy on Thursday. I sound like a rebellious child, don't I? I was a little that way. I always wanted to do my own thing. But I thought, I'm just going to read Proverbs chapter 9, because it was May 9th on Thursday. And God is so good, you know. He knows what's on our heart, whether you're going to preach or whatever you're going to do. He guides you and leads you into that perfect place. And so I believe he guided me into Proverbs chapter 9 on Thursday, because he wants to send a message to the church this morning on this Mother's Day. Let me read to you what Proverbs chapter 9, 10 to 12 says, and this is out of the Passion Translation. The starting point, sorry guys, I've mucked up the scriptures, but anyway, the starting point for acquiring wisdom is to be consumed with awe as you worship Jehovah God. To receive the revelation of the Holy One, you must come to the One who has living understanding. Wisdom will extend your life, making every year more fruitful than the one before. So it is to your advantage to be wise. But to ignore the counsel of wisdom is to invite trouble into your life. His message for you today is that he wants to protect each one of us from unnecessary trouble. When a baby is born, a mother wants to do everything in her heart to protect that child and give them the best life that they can have. When a baby is born, it doesn't matter whether the nose is flat, the head's flat, whatever. That baby is the most beautiful baby in that hospital. The desire to protect and grow this little person to all that they can be is just a snippet of what our creative, loving Father wants for every one of this. When I can remember thinking to myself, if this is how I feel about my children, how must God feel about me and you? How must he feel? This is only a portion of what he feels about us. Right from the beginning of time, God had a plan and a purpose for mankind. He placed Adam and Eve in perfect conditions, and God looked on what he created and he said it was very good. Today, as we honour mums, we show them how much we love them. We give them gifts, some more expensive than others, some are handmade, and there's a pressure to get the right gift, isn't there? What a mother represents, a loving mother, what a loving mother represents, first of all, children. Second, love. It's a day to say thank you for her sacrifice and care. It's a day of honouring. And I know in this room today it can be a very difficult day for many as well because of various situations. For some people, you haven't had this in your life. I had a mum who wanted the very best for me, so I've experienced that. but I know today can be very difficult for many. But there's one thing that we all have in common, and that is we want to belong, we want to love, be loved, and we hope for a really good life, don't we? We don't want a life that's all messed up. That's not what we hope for. We hope for a really good life with as few problems as possible. There's a quote that says, "Our environment, the world in which we live and work, is a mirror of our attitudes and our expectations." There's a beautiful mirror here this morning on stage. It says, "I am created in the image of God." There's probably another thing that we all have in common, most of us anyway, that we all looked in a mirror this morning to do our hair, to make things look right, didn't we? I have a magnifying mirror in my bathroom right by the window. That's how bad my eyes are getting these days, because I don't want to frighten you when you see me of a Sunday morning. Some mirrors, when we bought our house, our bathroom had lights that framed all around it, like in the movies. Some mirrors are like that. There's all types of mirrors. This is a beautiful mirror. Mirrors give us an accurate reflection of ourselves. When you look at your image in the mirror, what do you think? What do you see? What did you think this morning when you woke up and you had a look? Was it a positive reaction to what you saw, or was it a critique on what needed improving? We are constantly on a quest to improve our image. You look at Instagram, you know, we put all our photos up, we can edit our photos. There's all sorts of apps you can add to make your teeth white, your skin beautiful. It's amazing. We're on that quest for that perfect image, aren't we? Deep down inside of us, we're searching for perfection. We're searching for perfection in our homes, in our relationships, in our careers, and the list can go on. And there's a reason for that. It's in our DNA. In every one of us, it's in our DNA. In Genesis 1:27, God spoke and he said, "Let us make human beings in our image. Make them reflecting our nature so they can be responsible for the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, and yes, earth itself." God created human beings. He created them godlike, reflecting God's nature. He created them male and female. God blessed them. Prosper, reproduce, fill the earth, take charge. And Genesis 2:7 says, "God formed man out of dirt from the ground and blew into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living soul." God's heart, just like every mother, is that we prosper, that we rule, that we reproduce and we fill the earth. God wants to bless our lives. Blessing means favor and protection. Image means to live in his likeness, to reflect him in my life. When I was a little girl, when I was about 4 years old, my family, my mum and dad and my brother and I, went to the city. Now, we were living in Mundubbera at the time, and we came down from the country into the big smoke, into Queen Street, and I was walking along and my dad was holding my hand, and as every young child does, they want to do their own thing. And so I pulled away from my dad and ran across the road in Queen Street, and I was bumped by a taxi. Now, I wasn't hurt. Don't worry, I was just bumped. But the thing is, there are consequences for us wanting to go our own way. Every two-year-old, they want to be in control, don't they? The first word a two-year-old, or one of the first words they learn is no. It's inbred in us. We all want to be in control. A child tries to be their own boss. You tell a child not to touch something, and some of them, what happens? They do it anyway. They want to be the boss. Have you seen that movie, The Boss? Is it The Boss with the baby? Yeah. But the thing is, the parent knows what's ahead and they want to protect them, don't they? The child only sees the now and what he wants, and there becomes this power struggle. Like my porridge story, first thing, what I shared first thing. But the parent sees ahead. It doesn't matter how old we are, we will always want control. That's not a bad thing either, by the way. This verse in Genesis tells us that God created man to rule. How do I rule? How do I get control of my life? So let me share some thoughts this morning out of this verse in Genesis. Genesis 1 tells me I am created in his image. Although comparing myself with the image of God, I don't always measure up. Could I honestly look in the mirror and say with confidence that I resemble God? No? Image is a powerful force. It affects the choices we make. It affects the things we buy. Maybe you've seen something on TV that's an average product, but there's been a beautiful woman, a cute puppy, or an adorable baby advertising that thing, and what happens? We go and we buy that thing based on those things that make us feel good, the appearance to the eyes. Choices we make are affected by the images that we see. So what am I supposed to look like if I'm created in the image of God? Number one, God's image is creative. Now, some of you here may say that I don't have a creative bone in my body. Who would say that? No, you don't. If we're created in his image, then we must be creative, Glenda. You were born at this time and place for a purpose, to create. Being creative means searching for inspiration, even in the most mundane places. It doesn't mean I have to be a musician like these guys who are very creative, comes naturally, or be a singer, or be a painter, or be a drama person, whatever. That's creative, but there, every one of us, there's been creative things placed within us. We just need to find them. I've got a daughter who used to, when she was little, she used to love to create on my walls. And when she first started doing it, she did this massive creation. And then she found out, no, you do not do that. But the thing is with her, she used to, then she'd go into a corner and still do it. Why? I could never understand why. I had to guide her onto paper. But the thing is, that was, you know, she's now a story writer. She's a teacher. She loves to write. So it was in her, but she just needed to be directed in that field. We need to be creative in our marriages. We need to be creative with our friends. If I want a friend, I need to be a friend. I need to create that. Marriage can become very mundane if we don't create. Our families can become quite boring if we don't create. Our homes, our children, you know, it's not about just eating, sleeping, and off we go. That becomes very, very boring, I can tell you right now. Years ago, I started this, I had this little idea in my heart, and I thought, this is when our oldest daughter got married, and I tell you what, I was so sad that she left. She moved to Sydney, and I thought, I've got to shake myself out of this. I've got to get out of this. And so I started to, with the other two, the poor kids at home, it must have been awful for them. But anyway, I have no favourites. I love every one of my children, by the way. So what I started to do was I created this theme night on a Monday night. So John and I have Mondays off. And so what I did is Whatever country we decided we were going to do on that night, that was the meal we had, and I would have the colours of the country in that room, and just to bring a bit of fun and excitement into the home, because if we don't, it can become very boring, it can become dull, it can become, I don't really want to be there. And so we need to be creative. We need to create memories with people. Our connect groups. Let's be creative in our connect groups. Otherwise, people won't want to come because it's boring. Be creative. Be creative. What little thoughts have you ignored, thinking that it was nothing? I can guarantee every one of you in this room today have had a little thought of something and you have ignored it for whatever reason. That is God speaking to you in that moment to be creative. Listen. Listen to him. Small ideas can become very powerful things. But boredom comes from a lack of creativity. Be intentional about not being mundane in our lives. Maybe you need to ring someone. Maybe you need to pray for someone or speak to someone or walk across the room this morning and talk to someone. What is that little voice saying to you? Learn to follow that little voice. I have been surprised by acting on the prompt, how powerful the outcome can be. Many of you in this room have heard of the products, the thank you products. In the shopping centres, they're everywhere. I think the girl used to be in Mackay in your church, didn't she? Three young Aussies had an idea to make these thank you products. You know, they have the water, the cleansing products, all sorts of things. And from the sales of that water, they actually persevered. They had an idea and put that idea into action. They were rejected many times, but, you know, kept going. They persevered. And from the sales of that water, the body care and food products, that company donates funds to safe water hygiene and sanitation programs in 16 countries around the world. Three young Aussies with a simple idea. Who knows where your idea can take you? Some of you may have received little cute little gifts from your kids today, you know, handmade products that they have been very, very proud of. When we create and when we act on that creative idea, we are very proud of what we have done. When we step into that, we find fulfillment. Today, the mothers are going to get a gift. Now, those gifts were handmade by one of the women in our church to bless our church. And I could imagine that she is feeling really good about what she did this morning because she's followed through on an idea. To create is an idea in action. We are naturally created. There are hidden things inside every one of you today. God is proud of you. He wants you to be everything He created you to be. He knows your gifts and talents, but sometimes it takes courage to create. We need courage. Courage to step out with the idea that has been put into your heart. It can be scary sometimes. Don't shy away. Put yourself out there because who knows where that idea will go. We all want to find fulfillment and purpose. And this is a way that we can find that. What is your gift? God knows. Seek Him and learn to hear from Him and be led by that. Because you know what? It will become obvious. My gifts have never been obvious, but I sort of have an idea of what they are now. I've learnt to listen to that voice despite how hard or scary it can be. I have learnt to step out and I've seen His goodness in my life. The second thing that God is God is relational. Where does a child go when they're sick? Where does a child go when they've fallen over? When their brother has punched them? Who do they call? Dad won't do anything. Well, he will. He will. He'll, you know. Anyway. Who does a child call first thing in the morning? The child wakes up and calls for its mother, doesn't it? That's a great example of how our relationship with Jesus should be. We read in the verse in Genesis, it says, let us create man in our image, which tells me that God was with someone in the creative process. Who was that person? Colossians 1:15 says, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. We are made for relationship with God and with others. Our relationship tells us who we are, whose we are, and what's expected of us. Have you ever heard that saying, you go like the company you keep? That is so true. The company we keep is one of the most telling characteristics of who we really are. The only relationship that defines who we genuinely are is our relationship with God. You are the most valuable thing in God's eyes. So valuable that God sent His Son. In John 3:16, For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. God, who is sinless, who is perfect, wants to be in relationship with us and move us towards his perfection. We look in the image, and that image is not perfect. We can't find our true image in our work, in our success. We can't find our true image in other people, in our accomplishment, or how we look in the eyes of other people. Those things, those people, are not the perfect image that we're really looking for, because you know what? Eventually, they will fall short. We can never move towards what we are searching for without being in communion with God. Those things are fine when they're in their rightful place. Without God, it's like pulling away from my dad that day in the city. There are needless consequences based on the choices that we sometimes make. They are needless consequences. Mankind was the only one in creation that God touched. You read the creation story, God spoke the word about every single thing, but man, he created from the dust of the earth and he breathed into him. Man was the only part of creation that God touched. That's how much he wants to have a relationship with us. God formed us from the dust of the earth. Dust is a reminder of our frailty without God. And his breath brings power. I have a mirror in my garden, which you might think is a funny thing to have in your garden, or some may have one. And that's a little decor thing just to make it look nice. But it also, a mirror can make a space look bigger, a small space look bigger. Now, there are certain situations and spaces that we're in that we feel very, very small, don't we? But the thing is, with God, with the power of God in our life, we realise how big we really are, because it's the power of God working in us. We reflect the image of God, his bigness in that situation. And today, if you're here today and you have situations that are so big, can I remind you, as you reflect the image of God, his greatness will come into that and you will see his bigness. You see his greatness in that situation. And that situation, compared to God, is small. Compared to me, it's massive. But you know what? It's small compared to who God is. As we reflect his image, he will give us the power to overcome. Without him, we are dust, frail. But with his breath in our lives every day, we have that power. We have his greatness living in us. We need to allow God to be living in our lives every day. What's the first thing I do every morning? Do I check my emails? Do I get on social media? That takes a lot of my time every morning. We need to prioritize our time. Just like a child comes to its mother first thing in the morning, we need to go to God, prioritize that time with him, recognizing that without him, I am frail. Insecurity comes because we know our frailties, don't we? Every one of us have some sort of insecurity. Why? Because we're man. We are not perfect. Every one of us have an insecurity about something, as big or small as it might be, because we are made from the dust of the earth. But the thing is, we can be secure in the love of God and in his power every day. And the third thing I find about God's image, it's eternal. God is creative. God is relational. God is eternal. Genesis 2:7 says, God blew into Adam's nostrils the breath of life and he became a living soul. We have a soul that lives forever. We need to see ourselves and others as an eternal soul. Does that change the decisions that we make today? We need to ask ourselves every day, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Would Jesus be here? Am I going to where I shouldn't be? Would Jesus do this? If we're never sure, just ask that question. WWJD, what would Jesus do? I need to live in a way that moves me towards that perfection. We are always searching, and we will always be searching as long as we are in this sin-filled earth. We will be always searching. And, you know, we don't always know what we're searching for, but we are searching for perfection. It can only come through God. It cannot come through anything else. We can't allow our feelings to trip us up in our faith. That book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, it says, begin with the end in mind. When I had my children, I knew what I wanted for them. I wanted them to be strong, influential women that experienced as little pain as possible. I wanted to protect them, and I wanted them to have the best life. Begin with the end in mind. There is an end to this world. This is temporary. A child makes decision in the now because they don't see the future. Their eternity is past this life. Life is short. You know, a friend of ours just passed away on Friday this week. Life is short. We put too much emphasis on the now, forgetting that we are an eternal being. Everyone, the person that is sitting next to you is an eternal being. The person you work for is an eternal being. How is my life reflecting the image of God in my workplace, in my neighbourhood, in my family, with my children? I have a mirror in my bedroom that is constantly covered in fingerprints when my grandchildren come over. There are things that mark the mirror that affect the image in our lives. What are those things in your life that are affecting the image, the choices you make that are affecting that image? Its effectiveness is being reduced. When I walk in God's image, I step into everything He wants for my life. Luke 10, 25 to 27 says, on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Well, what is written in the law, he replied. How do you read it? And he answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbour as yourself. Just last week, we were away on our ACC National Conference, and there was a story told by a young woman who is a missionary in Africa. Her and her husband and two young children have gone to Africa as missionaries. Now, how did this start? Well, she went to Africa on her own for work. For I don't know what she does, but she went over there for work. And they drove through this community, and she couldn't help but notice all the kids that were on the street begging, prostituting. You know, they were the crime in this community was just terrible. These kids, they were only young children. Anyway, what she said is, I couldn't pretend I didn't see this. These eternal souls on the street, these young 10-year-olds, I couldn't pretend I didn't see this. God spoke to us so clearly that her husband and young children packed up and moved into that community from Australia. They came from Canberra, and they built a school. Every child on that street, there is no longer one child on the street in that community in Africa. She heard from God a creative idea. She aligned her life with God, and she saw these young people as an eternal soul, a person with a destiny, an eternal soul. And so she went over there, they built a school, now they educate these children, and even the mayor of this community has said, you know, crime, there is no crime. Due to the fact of what this family has done. They built a school, educated these children, they're dealing with underlying issues, they are integrating, reintegrating as many kids as they can back into their families, and the whole community has changed. Why? Because she saw these people as an eternal soul. I couldn't pretend I didn't see this. What is God wanting you to see today in your world, in your workplace? He's wanting to see, firstly, that you are an eternal soul, and secondly, that others are an eternal soul. What is He wanting to say to you today. And you know what, when we step into this, this gives us a sense of purpose and fulfillment. We are reflecting Jesus. Loving people can be very uncomfortable, can't it? To move from Canberra over to this African community, it's not always comfortable. When Jesus left heaven, that perfect place to come here, that was not comfortable. But he did it because he loved. Loving people can come at a cost. We all have our groups. We have our cultural groups, our social groups, our connect groups. Loving people doesn't say, you're not part of my crowd. It's inclusive. God's image is inclusive. How I talk about others, how I talk about myself. God's image is in every human being, and we honour him when we love. When we speak life into people, we need to love like Jesus and courage like him. Let's walk across the room and reflect Jesus wherever we are. When we live like this, God can bring our broken communities back together. Centro Church, I believe that we can just turn this city upside down when we line our lives up with what God has placed in your life and don't question it. Don't say, no, I can't do that. You are a reflection of the image of God. God is in your life. This week, when you have that little thing that comes into your heart, do you know what? Don't ignore it and don't say, no, I'm not good enough. I'm inferior. Who am I to say that? Don't do that. Step up, because you know what? As you do, you will get stronger. And you know, as you do, you will see what God can do through that, and you will learn to trust him more, because he is a great God. When you look in the mirror this morning, and I have the creative team come up. When you look in the mirror, even this afternoon, stand there and say, I am created in the image of God. What do you want me to see today, Jesus? Are people seeing you through me? The meaning of life is to love God passionately, like he loves you, and love others. This love is not, we don't have to strive to love Jesus. It's a supernatural, amazing love. It just happens. You know, people say love God and think, oh, that's so hard. How do I do that? Because we're thinking of like loving somebody. It's not always easy to love people. But the fact is, when we come into communion with Jesus every day, it's a supernatural love. It just happens. We can't explain it. The awe of who he is and the greatness of who he is flows through me. No one is inferior. God's image is not inferior. God cannot look down on himself. Revelations 22:5 says, night will be no more. They will never need the light of the sun or a lamp. This is talking about eternity. Because the Lord God will shine on them and they will reign as kings forever and ever. We are created to rule right from the beginning and throughout eternity. From the beginning, even in this time on earth, we're created to be in control of our situations, but we can't do that without him. And then in eternity, we will rule and reign this morning. Maybe you're here today and there, you know, maybe you don't know Jesus. Maybe you don't know Jesus and you say, you know what? I want to know him. I want to know him. I want this Jesus, this great God, this image. I want him in my life. I want to be able to walk my life out of that image. And maybe there's others and you've made choices that don't reflect the image of God. We want to pray for you this morning. And I know Tim's going to come. We're going to have a time of when people can come on the altar. But I'm going to pray right now and pray for you. And just let that settle in your heart as we pray. Father, we just come to you today and I thank you, God, for your image inside of every one of us. I thank you, Lord, that you love us. And Lord, I just thank you, God, that when we celebrate Mother's Day, God, that is just a small snippet of who you are and what you want for us. It's a small snippet of the love you have for every one of us. And I just pray for everyone in this room today, God. Lord, from whatever I've said, I just pray, God, that that will help them to be strong in who they are, to recognize who they are created to be, to recognize who you are in your greatness, in their situation, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast.